And we're live.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Beyond Retro Podcast. I'm Tyler Baker, and the inner circle is with us, the Rotten Amato himself, the mass vigilante, Jojo Amato.
That's right.
And the royalty himself, Mr. Kennedy, Nasty Nate.
Yeah, I'm in HD now. Kind of upgraded a little bit.
It looks a lot better.
He's turning into Jumpin' Jeff Farmer on the podcast, a man of many words. Yep.
You turned tables on me, Tyler. Turned tables in the wrong way.
Wrong way. Bunch of
got me mad now.
Jeff Farmer.
Yeah,
I saw Kevin Owens on Raw, I guess, was wearing like a Jumpin' Jeff Farmer like t-shirt.
Where it says, what he's doing is, I don't know if that's what he's trying to spoof, but remember, they always had Daniel Bryan spoofing. Oh, was it? Well, what I mean is, Daniel Bryan always says, yes, yes, yes. And since Daniel Bryan is supporting Kevin Owens, now he's just doing the yep movement. Instead of the yes movement, he's doing the yep movement or something. I don't know. But yeah, that is what he did.
I don't even think Tyler knows who Kevin Owens is.
I do. I know enough. I haven't watched Raw or NXT, I've never watched NXT. I haven't watched Raw in about 3 or 4 years, but I enough gets posted. I'm like, yes, I know who Kevin Owens is. I know who Finn Balor is and
Balor,
whatever.
Sorry, no, I didn't want people to freak out.
That's proving our point.
I stopped. Well, I got tired of watching Alberto Del Rio and being forced down your throat on every episode of Raw. I'm like, man, hell with this.
Well, at least you have to worry.
He's not there.
We said at the same time.
I tried watching again. I'm like, God, man, how many times are they going to get rid of this guy and then bring him back? And I just get tired of it.
I don't think he'll be coming back this time. If he does, that'd be something else. But I don't know. Nathan might even know more, but I don't think he'll be coming back. So.
Yeah, I think he's developed somewhat of a coke habit, so I don't see him back anytime soon.
He sucked anyway. God, I hate it when they always had.
Yeah.
Force two people on you, put him over in Royal Rumble, put him over in a Battle Royal, put the belt on him. It's the only way we know how to get over new stars. We don't have time to get built them up. That's why I don't watch wrestling anymore. I swear, what killed it for me, though, was when they decided to squash Nexus at SummerSlam. Yeah. When they decided to let John just go in and squash the whole faction, essentially. I was like, that's it. Game over for me, man. I'm not watching this anymore.
Yeah. But speaking of new stars, let's talk about the new Star Wars movie. No, I'm kidding.
I was ready to say I can't plug my ears because I got my headphones on me. So
you're not even going to go see it anyway. You're just going to wait till someone like buys it for you, like in the bar, like at a Blu-ray special on Black Friday.
I might go see it at the theaters. And hey, I just want to say hello to JD.
Movies in theaters. You're one of those. You walk around
miser
with a shawl around you. I it's cold out. I can't go to the movies.
I know, that's why I'm always wearing this damn little scarf right here. But no, I might go see that. I might scrape and get up as many quarters, dimes, nickels, and I'll go to the early bird special for $5. I'll go see that damn movie. But let me just say hello to JD Gibson in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. He's here. So, new Star Wars movie, yeah, I'll probably go see that.
Well, make sure you pay as little as possible when you do go. That's all I'll say.
Okay, well, it doesn't sound like you had really good thoughts about that movie. But we'll see. Did you happen to see it, Nathan? You don't have to tell me, what's about, but did you see it too?
Oh, yeah, no, I was actually sitting right beside of Tyler watching the movie.
All right, real quickly.
Yeah, I won't give you any thoughts.
Okay, all right.
I'll leave it at that.
All right, when I see it, then maybe we'll even do that. We'll babble that about in an episode.
I would hope that would be interesting. I would love it if Joe did go see it, so that way we could discuss it,
Okay. I will. I promise I will. I promise I will go to theaters and see it, and maybe that'll be a topic after Christmas time.
Let me throw this out, because it comes out next month, Joe. You have to buy it, so that way we can sit down and discuss it.
Oh, I'm getting it. Yeah, I didn't go see it at the theaters, but I will get it on DVD, Blu-ray, or whatever. Yeah, I will.
And that's what we should do on the podcast too. Is that we ought to do like a comparison episode of the original and the remake kind of thing. That way we can keep it retro, but also discussing the remake. Because I'll be curious because me and Nathan loved it. So,
yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it definitely looked good. Yeah, we won't compare it to any parts of the book that were left out because, as we know,
The big gang bang in the sewer and all that crap.
Yeah, there's some parts to leave out. All right, well, Tyler, what's our discussion for today? Seeing what the fans know when we get going.
Well, this week we decided to talk about Joe and Nathan's favorite Christmas.
Which, oh, really?
Yeah. You know, since, you know, last week that seemed to be all we could talk about. We just I don't know how the hell we managed to talk about Batman Returns or anything else for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Or the big Christmas movie special of Ghostbusters 2, because I mean, when I think Christmas, it's always Ghostbusters 2. So there's that big one too. Oh, yeah. And Jaws 4 or whatever the hell it was. I don't know.
Yeah, Jaws the Revenge, you know, the first blood, you know, I don't know, you know. It was just so hard to top Joe's, you know, I got a Neo Geo for free. I didn't even ask for it. Nathan getting
I could talk about Christmas 89 when I got my original Nintendo and got Batman and Dick Tracy and Ninja Turtles for it. And, you know, I was really excited. Got some turtle toys that you probably didn't get for Christmas 89. That would have been like really awesome, you know?
Yeah.
That's Christmas. Did you expect all that stuff, Nathan? Or was that just a big old
surprise? It was a complete surprise.
All right. Yeah. We should go in depth. That'd really piss Tyler off. But no, we won't. We'll go into other discussions.
What we're going to attempt to talk about are the Christmas classic specials that we grew up on as children, you know, which I'm sure people who are older than us have their Christmas specials. And fortunately, all popular shows have got a Christmas episode at some point during their run. I mean, from He-Man, G.I. Joe, Turtles has had, I'm pretty sure Turtles had like at least, well, maybe they didn't. I can't remember if Turtles had a Christmas episode or not.
I imagine they did.
Yeah, they I can't say right off, and I'm ashamed to admit that. But the traditional Christmas specials such as like Frosty, Rudolph, the Charlie Brown Christmas special, I'm sure all three of us will be touching on ones that the other two are probably not as familiar with or haven't seen at all. And
yeah, I'm sure you both will probably say something I don't remember. But, of course, I did want to quickly again say hello to David McMullen in the chat room, too. Thank you for joining us. So, yeah, if you didn't hear it already, Tyler said we'll be discussing about a lot of the TV specials that we, you know, experienced when we were growing up. Because there's been so many as he went through also. I wanted to even bring up some modern ones, too. But, you know, what's strange is some of the modern ones, and you know, it's the thing, I'm like, oh, is it just the kid in me that wants to only like the stuff from the 80s or 90s and not appreciate now? But it's like in the 2000s, it's like, I couldn't think of many. Like the one, only one came up that was kind of cool. I'll admit it was kind of cool. It was, I think, Shrek the Halls that they had on one of the TV channels. But what I liked was there was one part of it. There was like these three stories, I think, in that. And it was one where the gingerbread man seen Santa Claus as like a villain because, you know, Santa Claus is going to eat, you know, gingerbread men, gingerbread and cookies. So when Santa comes, the gingerbread man seen him as like a villain or something. And I couldn't remember if he pooped, I don't know, candy nuggets or whatever it was. I was like, I got a slight kick out of that. But otherwise, I don't see many things. I don't know if they're trying too hard. Like, you know, back in the day, just they were simple. They were simple. They were fun. And hello to Motu Cave Dweller. He's in the chat room. He says he's late to the party. He said, happy holidays, everyone, and happy holidays to you, too. But I don't know. It's just there was some simplicity and fun with those classic cartoons or the claymation or stop motion. You know, yeah, what I mean? There's many.
Let's get one thing straight here. What Joe is thinking of are the stop motion animation specials of Rankin and Bass and not Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas or the Easter special or the Halloween special. Or the California Raisin specials that were done in these. That's Claymation.
Yeah, and that's what's weird is the Claymation ones you talked about. You know, you'd have to tell, I guess you or maybe Nathan both, let's tell me about the Christmas Claymation one so I can see if I even remember this. I don't even know if I remember
which one. I'm pretty sure it's probably maybe 20 minutes, if that. Did you watch it, Nathan? The Will Vinton's Claymation Christmas special?
See, that's the thing. I imagine that I did as a kid, but even when you and I were talking about it a week ago, kind of in prep for the episode, I was just like, wait, what? And you're like, what? You're an idiot. You don't remember that? Oh, man.
I hate that. I'd like to think that there are, I mean, there's ones that we have all seen, but I'll post a picture of it afterwards. But
yeah,
just to keep it short and concise, it's two dinosaurs in like this town square. And what's so cool is Will Vinton was very detailed and built this like little town set. And the two dinosaurs are introducing these variations of classic Christmas songs that are done with like We Three Kings has got these three singing camels and these three kings. They're singing the song, but there's a bit of like kind of a rhythm and blues vibe when the camels start singing. There's one of the Carol of the Bells. And then to close it all out, which was my favorite part, is the California Raisins sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in like this Christmas town on Christmas Eve. It's covered in snow, and they just start, you know, singing Rudolph in a very, you know, hip-hop kind of way. And
when you're describing dinosaurs and the California Raisins, I mean, it's just, I mean, but what was it about? Like, where was the place? Like, was it supposed to be in
this fictional little Christmas town? Like I said, it looks so cool. It looks so cozy, but they're standing in the main square, and Herb and Rex are the two dinosaurs, and they're your hosts, and they're telling you, you know, we're here to, you know, bring you all kinds of various Christmas carols, and they keep arguing over the word wassail. So you've got these, you know, dogs show up with a waffle cart thinking it's about waffles, not wassail. You got these little ducks showing up saying it's waddling, and they're giving out candy. And you've got pigs showing up in a pig truck. And
this is just, it's just, I've never heard of this. And hello, Paul Siebert. He's also in the chat room. Maybe, hopefully, somebody in the chat room will join in, too, if they remember what Tyler's
saying. I know one person who's heard of it, Matt Hilton, who I grew up with as a kid. He was very familiar with the Woven Christmas special. But, I'll maybe when we start sharing this episode for this week, I'll attach just to see, is anybody out there familiar with this special besides me? But,
JD Gibson in the chat room, JD Gibson says he does remember that. So you got somebody in the chat room.
Good. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. Cause I know Nathan's probably got, you know, a couple of ones that all, you know, he's probably seen the same thing for Joe, but, let me at least throw out one that I know all three of us have seen is, you know, the traditional Frosty the Snowman, not Frosty Returns. That sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. Yeah.
The Frosty the Snowman, the one with, damn it, man. What's his name? Jimmy Durant playing the narrator of it. And, you know, it was Professor Hinkle, the evil magician and all that stuff. You know, the one that CBS plays every year.
Oh, that one is probably the most memorable. And also, welcome to JSP in the chat room. But go ahead, Nathan, start off because, yeah, I think almost everybody here in the chat room has to remember Frosty the Snowman, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, like, Frosty and Rudolph and all of those, like, I watch constantly as a kid, but I'll admit to you now, I haven't watched any of those in probably 15, 20 years.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, towards, I wouldn't say like high school years, I started to just reach this point where like...
You're not watching anything but like the SmackDown Christmas specials, you know, where they've got like the Rock singing Christmas carols with the Big Show and doing eggnog wrestling matches and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where like Stacey Kubler and Tori Wilson are like stripping down into their bikinis and
oh, dear
like,
God.
Eggnog in a pool and everything. No,
That would be my Christmas special, but yeah, go ahead.
No, just... And Tyler and I were talking about this too, Joe, and I don't know how you'll kind of feel about it, but I would say ever since about junior, senior year of high school, like I don't get as much in the Christmas spirit like I did as a kid. And, you know, I don't know if that's just part of getting older or, you know, will it come back to me if I ever have a kid or something, but it's lost its magic to me. So I'm just like, Christmas specials. Don't need to watch those anymore.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I can understand that. I wouldn't say getting older. It happens. Sometimes people do kind of get out of what you want to call whatever a Christmas special spirit or feeling and maybe just don't get into watching those anymore. But sometimes there's a spark. I always say there's that spark that people have to where sometimes if they just catch something, it might just get them addicted right back into watching them. Like sometimes all it takes is watching that one time. Like maybe, like you said, you have no desire. You don't care. You don't want to watch it. But maybe with whatever reason, you're sitting there with your girlfriend or whatever, like you said, one day with your kids, you watch one, and bam, maybe the magic will come back. I mean, it was great, like I said, back then. And sure, I only watch them when they do come on, you know, TV for that one time. But, yeah, it's not like I'm wanting to pop them in any other time during the year. Of course, you know, you figure it should be just around Christmas you're in that mood. But, yeah, I mean, when Christmas comes, I'll admit, I get a little nostalgic. I remember some of those great ones, like you said, Frosty and Rudolph, and like that one where – the year without a Santa Claus, where that little shit mouse wrote that nasty letter to Santa Claus about how he didn't believe him in the town. I remember Santa wasn't going to come that year. They had to fix the clock or something. I think everybody might remember that. And also, welcome to David. Yeah, and David McMillan, welcome to the chat room too. He said, so he's here too also. So thank you. But no, what were you saying real quick, Tyler? I'm sure you remember that one.
No, I don't. That's what I was telling you. I don't. No. I never saw that.
No. Well, Nathan, please tell me you remember that one.
Nope.
Oh, my God. Well, somebody in the chat room, Steve, Joe, somebody's got to remember this one. It was not a claymation. It was not stop motion. It was a cartoon. And there was this, it was like there was a human family, but then there was also this little mouse family. And there was like this little nerdy mouse guy. Like, I'll admit, I haven't seen that maybe in 2 years. I hope it comes on this year.
I almost feel like I'm getting that confused with that cartoon of The Night Before Christmas, where there was like a mouse family. Or maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Because wasn't The Night Before Christmas the animated special where it's like a human family, but there's also like a little mouse family too, or
yeah, well, you know what? I might have messed that up. I thought it was The Year Without a Santa Claus, but you're right. It might have been called The Night Before Christmas. Maybe I said it wrong, but yeah, that is the one. There was a human family, there was a mouse family. They lived in the same thing, and something happened to where I think the little genius mouse wanted to fix or do something to a clock, and I thought it broke or something, and he had to fix something. They wanted to make a special clock to say Christmas bells are calling Santa, Santa, or something, a song. And then it was like a magic to bring Santa Claus back to show that they did care, that this little town cared, because that little mouse ruined the chances of that of Santa coming there, because he wrote a nasty letter about he doesn't believe in him, I think.
It sounds like vaguely familiar. Now that you're like starting to talk about it, I can kind of picture sort of the human family and the mouse family, but other than that, I don't know. That one's kind of lost on me.
Yeah, I tell you, it's something that we can try to Google or YouTube after this show, because I might have to try to watch, especially if it didn't pop up on TV, you know, this year. It might already, you know, like we were saying last week, hell, half the time these specials already come up a week or two before Christmas, and then when Christmas comes, there are no specials.
Well, yeah, and there's so many of these that I, you know, of course, I don't have cable anymore. I cut that off, so I have all I know is that CBS still plays the Frosty the Snowman, and I think sometimes they'll play Frosty Returns, but yeah, they still play Rudolph once a year, and I think ABC plays the Charlie Brown Christmas special. The Grinch gets played, I think, on TBS or TNT at least once a year, the animated Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
But stuff like Garfield's Christmas, which to me is, I hold it in my top two Christmas specials of all time. I don't recall ever seeing that on TV ever. I've got a VHS converted to DVD that my mom recorded Frosty, Charlie Brown, The Grinch, Garfield's Christmas, and the Claymation Christmas in that order on VHS. And that's how I watched them every year. I never really tuned in to watch them. On TV. It was just that mom recorded for me and my brother to have and watch every year. So we would have these, and I actually put it in the a couple of weeks ago when my brother and my sister-in-law and my little nephew were here, and it was playing. It still got the grainy VHS quality. Even some of the 80s like commercials that. For McDonald's, Double Mint Gum, Nestle Toll House Morsel Cookies,
all these old
Sawyer D, you know.
God damn. I mean, that is so cool, because, you know, you're right, a lot of the stations don't, like, I have not seen the Garfield Christmas probably since it first ever aired. I have not seen it since. I've never seen the Claymation one. I mean, I wish I could get a burn things that you had. Burn, if you could ever burn one, because I'd love to see the grain.
It's from the same people that I got made you that copy of the He-Man vintage commercials. It's the same people who did that, converted that VHS. And what's cool at the beginning of this, I also had another VHS tape of me meeting Michelangelo, the Ninja Turtle, at one of the local video stores here in town. They had a guy in a Michelangelo outfit doing a meet and greet with kids at King Video. So I have that at the beginning of this DVD with me being, I think, 6 years old, wearing a button-up shirt and acid wash jeans, going over and giving him a high five and telling him I like pepperoni pizza.
That's cool as shit. No, I gotta see that. I gotta see that DVD, man. And Motu Cave Dweller, he also just said the same thing. He said he loves the Garfield Christmas special. He said used to play on CBS, he believes.
Yes.
He said that opening song cracked me up first time I heard it. And well, I mean, I guess you would know it too, Tyler. I'd have no clue of anything of that cartoon.
See, that's the thing. When my mom recorded it, she, and I that's what I only had to go by. Like, there were parts of the Charlie Brown Christmas special that she didn't catch. But when I actually saw the whole thing in its entirety, I thought I was more used to watching the way my mom recorded. She missed maybe like 5-10 seconds. And then the Garfield Christmas special, I never saw the beginning. It just starts where John walks in saying, "We got a busy day ahead of us."
A Garfield Christmas, sponsored by McDonald's. What you want is what you get, guaranteed at McDonald's today.
Is there something wrong?
I was kind of wondering too, because.
Yeah, okay, I've been watching, just to let you guys know, on YouTube, we absolutely lost the feed for the longest, so I kept talking just in case.
You guys, you cut out for I don't know, maybe 10, 15 seconds there. It just went black. I don't know what happened, but
okay.
You all got disconnected, but now you're back.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, we're back, everyone. We had that. Yeah, you're right. Somebody, M2K Brothers, said a commercial break. Yeah, that was a quick commercial break, I guess.
Yeah, we should have had like a vintage 80s commercial cut in there and kind of to coincide with this. But
maybe when Doug uploads it to Podbean and puts the music beforehand, he can like squeeze like a little something in there in that little gap.
Yeah, like the audio of an 80s commercial, you know, that.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Well, give me more work to do. Thanks a lot.
It's 1987.
More work for Doug. Yeah. But, well, I guess then you definitely didn't have the song for the beginning then.
Well, no, I didn't have the song, but what I was getting at is that as I got older, there's some emotional moments that to me, I'm like, I kind of find sad. And I was telling Nathan not too long ago, I find it hard too to sit down and watch a lot of this stuff because I get kind of sad and depressed because that magic of Christmas is, I mean, watching those as a kid takes you back to like, oh God, it was so exciting to sit down on Christmas Eve or multiple times before Christmas and watching that VHS tape. Now to go back, I'm like, I get kind of sad and depressed because that magic for me is gone. You know,
I think that's Tyler. I mean, that's what's good about, you know, doing this podcast. And well, first let me say hello to Michael Bell. He's in the chat room too. Thank you for joining us. And, no, I think that's what's good about doing the podcast in general is when we're sitting here and we talk about whether it's, you know, Christmas specials. And when Nathan and I, when we talk about a Christmas memory, you know, first, like you said, it might seem a little depressing, but maybe it will bring a little bit of magic back, you know, because like you said, maybe the magic isn't as intense as when we were kids. Because, yes, that's understandable. But it's there. You know, it comes out in little sparks and little bits. And that's what's fun about doing. I mean, who doesn't love reminiscent of anything? I mean, you know, you think about outlets when you don't really talk to anybody. Like, I'm sure you'd be at work but like, hey, man, do you remember the old Christmas special? Hey, you remember this action figure? You know, usually don't do that at work.
But also what I mean is like when I watch these now, the emotional moments in some of these cartoons, they hit me harder than they didn't hit me at all as a kid. Like I just saw it as like, I love this whole thing. But I watched the Garfield Christmas special, and when Garfield goes and finds these old love letters to give to Grandma as a gift to her that she hadn't seen in, you know, 20 years or so, the music gets emotional, and she thanks Garfield and pats him on the head, and then Odie comes over and gives Garfield, you know, a gift, the back scratcher, and then, you know, Garfield, you know, gets sentimental and just wants to hug Odie. I'm like, even thinking about it now, it just... And that doesn't help when I'm like, this stuff is more, it's touching, but it's also sad and like, God, man.
Yeah, we look at it a different way as adults,
yeah,
as kids.
I mean, when I watched Frosty the Snowman, kind of messed up to see Frosty die in front of little Karen, right in front of her eyes. Can you imagine if they'd animated that where Frosty's like melting in front of this little girl? Like her big buddy is just dying right in front of her, you know?
You know, that's what's weird is, you know, when we were kids, some things maybe didn't hit us as hard as the sad parts. Maybe we just, there was not a certain connection of an emotional level. Maybe our brains couldn't process as much. I do remember as a kid when Frosty did melt, I remember being sad, but you're right. Some other shows, like maybe you said the letter and the part with the grandmother in Garfield. Now as an adult, we understand our feelings a lot more. And now, yeah. Unfortunately, yes, as an adult, we will start to get a little too emotional. It's like, damn it, I didn't cry when I'm a kid, but now I want to tear up as an adult. It's weird how we process stuff. But Nathan, we rambled a lot. You go ahead. We're sorry. Go ahead. You do a little
rambling. Hey, no, you guys are good. I'm having fun just kind of sitting back here and waiting to see if Tyler's going to cry on us or not.
Well, when I was describing those moments, I could hear it. And that's why I hesitate to even watch that DVD right now, because it's it's so sweet, and I like it a lot. And I'm like, man, I don't want to cry at Christmas. You know, it's yeah. It's sad enough that, you know, I mean, I'm looking forward to my little nephew when he's old enough to get action figures and talk about Santa with him and stuff like that. So as of right now, it's just kind of biding your time, and you know, it's hard to, like, you know. Well, even watching Bill Murray's Scrooge, there's some good emotional moments in that. And I'm like, God, man, I don't want to get sad. That's why sometimes I almost feel more inclined to watch
Die Hard.
Well, do what now?
Well, you probably are inclined to watch Die Hard. No emotional value there, just a lot of killing. Well,
even the end of Die Hard, when he comes out with his wife and Reginald Johnson is out there waiting to greet him.
Oh, that hug? Damn!
He's so damn happy that he made it out. They know each other without even seeing each other, and
just lit look, yeah, plays,
and you're like, God, man, this is so exciting. Did they, you know, Bruce is laughing and crying at the same time, and I'm like, God, man, I'm just like a big damn softie. Like, I cry at everything now. I feel like even an action movie like that will make me tear up because I'm like, God, he made it out, man. They get to
too bad that,
you know, they
picture that, because picture that it happened at the end of the movie. So I could just see Tyler walking out of one of the most action-intense movies, and he's crying. Everybody's like, what the hell movie did this guy see that was so sad? He's like, I've seen Die Hard. It's like, what the hell is he crying about?
It's so damn intense. When you know, it is. And it didn't used to be that way. It's when I got older. And when I watched that end, I'm like, oh, man, this is so emotional here. And the Charlie Brown Christmas special is another one. You know, there's always those jokes and remarks about how Charlie Brown's going to commit suicide because everyone's picking on him and giving him crap and stuff.
I want to say something about Charlie Brown. We're going to hold that, but for a second, I wanted to say that Paul Sievert and the Motu Cave Dweller, they both were talking about something. Paul Sievert brought up the Sesame Street Christmas special, and they're both talking about it, but I don't remember this. Do you, either of you remember the Sesame Street Christmas special?
No. I mean, I watched Sesame Street. I loved it, but I don't recall the Christmas special. And I wish I had, because I'm sure it was quite good.
I didn't watch Sesame Street that much as a kid.
Yeah,
I didn't even admit that.
I enjoy watching it. I think I watched more Mr. Rogers than Sesame Street, oddly enough.
Yeah,
it's... You know, I might have seen it once as a kid, but no, I have no memory of it. I mean, Motu Cave Dweller mentioned, he says, at the end, he said the Cookie Monster ate the Christmas tree at the end of the show. So, wow. See, it's, I mean, there's always a different Christmas special that somebody has and a different memory. That's what's cool about each and every one of them. But no, that Charlie Brown Christmas special is always just, it's kind of one of the most memorable, at least to me.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, beyond the little moments and, you know, Charlie Brown trying to, you know, pick out the perfect tree, and he fails at that. He's always like, he can never do nothing right. The speech from Linus, or Linus, I said Linus. Linus,
yeah, about the meaning of Christmas.
The meaning of Christmas. I mean, it was a great-ass one, because as much as I like the Halloween one, the Charlie Brown
Christmas. I never did like the Great Pumpkin. I never have.
But yeah, because the Great Pumpkin, even though I liked it, those parts I remembered as a kid took me out of it. I hated the part when Snoopy was the World War II ace fighter or something. They went into the Red Baron part. Yeah, it like, I hated the sound of the music. It's like it took me out of the Halloween mode. And I always felt so bad for Charlie Brown. I was like, what the hell did he do to deserve rocks? Every time he held his bag out, I was like, you know, you're surprised this poor kid who was tormented didn't grab them rocks and just throw them right back at their house through the window. I was like, what the hell did Charlie Brown do to be picked on by even adults? Like, here's your rock, here's your rock. I felt so damn bad for him. And then the Christmas special, you know, he's trying to pick out the perfect tree. He's like, it's not such, and then I think Linus says, it's not such a bad little tree. And he, you know, wraps his blanket around it. They put the bulbs and, of course, get all the decorations from Snoopy's house, you know, because he wanted to win an award. And they made the tree look great. But it was just such a pitiful little tree, but it was a good episode. You know, it was a memorable one. But Nathan, go ahead, because I rambled. Go ahead. You got it, at least remember. I hope Charlie Brown Christmas.
Who doesn't own the Charlie Brown Christmas tree? Like, Tyler's got his set up on his coffee table at his place now. You know, like,
a replica, you mean? You got the actual Charlie Brown Christmas tree?
I had the first one they released, because this one didn't come with a blanket. So I grabbed a little blue bath towel that was the same color Linus's blanket. And every year I wrap that same towel around. Now it's standard. You know, you get the blanket with the tree. But this was years ago, you know, that I
honestly didn't know they sold that. I didn't know they sold them. I didn't know that.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's just all of them that we've talked about, and, you know, some of the ones I haven't seen, but, you know, just yeah, your Frosties and Charlie Brown. And I mean, one for me is the Mickey's Christmas, Mickey's Christmas Carol, which, you know, had what was it? Because they've kind of changed it up over the years. I know that there's that. And then before that, I want to say there's one with like Huey, Dewey, and Louie having a snowball fight with Donald.
And yeah, then, but the one you're talking about, Mickey's Christmas Carol, the original one, that one is a great one. Go ahead. Yeah,
and, you know, speaking of, like, kind of getting emotional, when I watched that one a couple years ago, you know, when it goes into Mickey's family and they just have, like, this little tiny meal and everything. I don't know. It just, like, it did something to me that I'm just like, wait, what's going on? As a kid, you know, like, you realize what's happening and you understand it, but as an adult, I guess it's just like, wow, you know. He's doing what he can, and this is the what he has to show for it. I don't know. Like, that gets to me. With Tyler getting all sappy, it's kind of like in Dumb and Dumber when Jim Carrey's crying about the telephone commercial.
Yeah. I'm stuck with dollar bills in my nose to clean up my snot and everything. You're like, oh, God. You know, that's pretty much – yeah, that's a great representation. Of course, I'm not wearing a bathrobe or anything like that when I'm sitting, you know, in my apartment, you know, bawling like a baby.
Yeah,
like that. But
that was
but
great.
I get what Nathan's saying about that. I mean, to watch, you know, a Christmas Carol like that as a kid, you know, you're immune to the views of an adult where you just see, oh, they're poor, and Scrooge is learning about this stuff. But you don't. It doesn't really hit home because you don't. You, of course, I had a soft spot for people in less fortunate situation as a kid. You know, not so much that I would start crying at something like that, but. I got it, but nowhere near as much as an adult, you know. But then again, too, I watch A Christmas Carol now, and I'm thinking, why the hell do we feel sorry for Bob Cratchit when he keeps having all these kids and he can't support one, let alone a whole brood of 5'8"? And we're supposed to feel sorry for this guy? Dude, this guy needs to forget, you know, either to pull out or start wearing a condom.
They didn't have them back then. They had no condom. It was if they were poor. I guess that was their way of just passing the dime.
Better to do than sit around and procreate. I'm like, you know what? You wouldn't be so poor if you stopped having so many damn kids.
And he had quite a few of them. But no, that Mickey's Christmas Carol, it's – yeah, it was –
I'm not talking about Mickey's Christmas Carol. I'm talking about Christmas Carol in general. I'm not trying to make it hardcore. Like, Mickey, you need to take
wear a condom, Mickey. Just wear
a condom. No, I knew you weren't talking about Mickey. I was just transitioning back to that because, you know, I always liked all the interpretations of Christmas Carol because, like I said, how we said with Scrooge, you know, last week, and there's always a slight twist and a spin to them. And then when you had Mickey's Christmas Carol, because, again, you're a kid, cartoon, who didn't like Mickey when they were a kid, and cartoons. So their different spin was, you know, when you seen the bird, like Nathan was saying, when she took that bird out, I mean, it was just so small, like that was all their meal was going to be. And I thought I even remember them trying to slice a pea, or I don't know if I'm thinking of another cartoon.
No, yeah, but they tried to slice a pea.
Yeah, it just, it was so sad. And then finally when, you know, Scrooge McDuck, you know, when he finally sees the light and he comes over there trying to act like he's all mad, because in the other Christmas carols, he didn't come over on Christmas Day. He went to his nephew's house in like A Christmas Carol and that kind of stuff that he went to, his nephew's. But in this one, he goes to, you know, like you said, Cratchit's house. And on Christmas, and I think he brings a big bird in that sack, but also he's trying to act real mean and tough. And I don't know if he was acting like it was laundry to do or something, but I thought like even a toy fell out. And I thought one of the kids seen it, but just to see what he did, how he changed his way, brought them food, brought them toys. And because you're right, just seeing how sad Minnie Mouse looked with Mickey, you know, about Tiny Tim. Oh man, you're right. Anytime I see any of the Christmas carols and you see poor Tiny Tim, and when you see Scrooge's thoughts of, you know, this poor little kid and what could happen to him. Yeah, now as an adult, these things get you a lot more than when you're a kid. When you're a kid, maybe a little. But it changes when you're an adult. When you're adult, like we said, emotions and, you know, thought come into play a lot more, and it makes these things memorable and a little sadder. But yeah, like I said, you can get in the Christmas mood with some, but then also you get in the sad Christmas mood. So like Nathan said, God, if he's kind of like not really in the mood, and then he gets back and he goes to the sad ones, it's like, oh God, it's like all depression. It's like one depression to Christmas depression.
Now, Joe, do you remember, like, the ones that played before that, too? Like, do you remember the one where it's Chip and Dale in the Christmas tree, and Pluto's like trying to get to him the whole time.
You know,
do you remember that one at all?
You were mentioning something about
like the snowball fight.
Yeah, the snowball fight. I thought even one of them ended up looking like a snowman or something happening with the snowball fight, but something sounds slightly familiar. They're things I might have seen, but not with a great memory. Not as much as Mickey's Christmas Carol and Rudolph and Frosty and the rest of them. So you'd have to tell me more about it because it's like I just can't – I can't remember it as well.
Yeah, like with when I watched it as a kid, it was an hour-long special, and Mickey's Christmas Carol was at the very end. But before that, they had a couple of other ones, and I think it went in the order of like the first one was the snowball fight with Donald and his nephews. And I want to say the second one is like, you know, Mickey's at his house, and you know he's trying to decorate his Christmas tree. Chip and Dale are in the tree, and Pluto recognizes them. And he's trying to, like, get him out of the tree, and he ends up kind of, like, messing up the tree and everything.
Tyler,
I don't think you even recall any of that, right?
It never played, and I never saw it terrain as a kid, but I had heard of it and knew, you know, of you know, Scrooge McDuck, and eventually learning that that's kind of where the character from DuckTales came from. You know, Scrooge McDuck came from the Christmas special. But I
real quick, not to interrupt, but I just wanted to say that Michael Bell in the chat room said that, Nathan, are you thinking of House of Mouse? Is that what it was called? He says it's the House of Mouse.
I don't know. I want to say they just called it like a Mickey's Christmas special and then like had all of that stuff together.
Just these multiple different little Christmas stories.
I mean, it may have been called that. I really can't remember.
Yeah, that's what I mean. My memory is just for certain things I just can't remember at all. I mean, some things, like you said, were just a combination of a lot. Sometimes you didn't even know the names of them. Like, you know, when you'd watch, you know, Rudolph and then like the baby New Year or something. Like sometimes they had so many of those, you know, stop motion ones. They ran into a row. You just figured it was one giant super special. You'd forget that, oh, this is a one and this is one. When you were a kid, you just couldn't remember. But also, JSP, I didn't remember this, and I know Tyler would have to. He said Brave Star had a Christmas Carol type episode. Did you remember that, Tyler?
I haven't come across that one yet, and I've got the entire set, but I guess I just have not come to that episode. I've watched almost the entire series, so I'm surprised I did not. I guess I clearly just did not catch that episode. Oh,
yeah, because I absolutely don't remember.
I have no doubt that there is, so I hate that I have not come to that, because I'd like to, if he knows the name of it, tell him to write the name down, so at least that way I can look that up and find it on the DVD set.
Yeah, we'll wait for that from you from JSP, whether you do it here or you do it on Facebook. Yeah, Tyler, yeah, he'd like to know.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, also, Paul Siebert, I'm going to be honest with you on this one. He said, what about Raggedy Ann and Andy Christmas? Well, here's the thing for me. I hated Raggedy Ann and Andy because it was the crap that, for me, when I woke up Saturday mornings and I was ready to watch my real cartoons, I would get up like about a half hour early. I'd get my bowl of cereal, sit down to get ready for cartoons that I think from my old memory as a kid came on at 7. But earlier, like 6 and 6:30, like 6 o'clock, they might have had some Bible special thing. And at 6:30 came Raggedy Ann and Andy. I hated it. It's like I'm sitting there eating my cereal, passing, kind of looking up, going into the room, just like, when is this crap going to be over so I can get to cartoons? So, Paul, I'm sorry, buddy. I hated Raggedy Ann and Andy. I don't know about Tyler and Nathan, but couldn't stand it.
Knew of Raggedy Ann and Andy, never watched any of the shows. I remember the early cartoon that would come on for me before I would get ready to watch, like, Turtles and Ghostbusters and everything. It was like Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I just wasn't really having that as a kid.
Yeah, sometimes have older cartoons to prepare you for the newer cartoons. It was just their way of, like, shoehorning some other stuff. Like, I love the Looney Tunes. Anytime Looney Tunes came on, you could watch them. Yeah, watch him a million times. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. Let's see what Foghorn Leghorn or anybody else is going to do. Anything that came on, or Warner Brothers, whatever, any of that stuff. Yeah, I got into that. But not Raggedy Ann and Andy.
Was the Mickey Christmas, Carol, was that your all's first introduction to the Scrooge story? Like, was that your all's first interpretation of seeing the Dickens classic?
I want to say for me, yes. I'm pretty sure it was.
For me, I think it would have been the actual Christmas Carol. I don't know which one. I know that there was like one in 1984 that I think came out.
Yeah,
with,
the George C. Scott one.
Yeah, George C. Scott. I seen his. I don't know about the ones before that. If, you know, they were on TV, like when I'm a kid, if I was seeing something in black and white or something that looked too old, it didn't catch my attention. But definitely, yeah, the George C. Scott one, I do remember that from a kid. So that might have been my first introduction, because I believe that was before Mickey's Christmas Carol. I believe it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
Which I'm not surprised Nathan said that was his first one, but I'm hoping one, at least one of you is familiar with this one, because this one was my first interpretation of that story, was the Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
I don't remember it. I don't remember it.
Nope. Damn it. God, man. Yeah, I popped it in last Saturday night and watched the first 15, 20 minutes of it. I wanted to avoid most of the singing in it, because as an adult, I don't enjoy singing. But that was my first introduction to the Scrooge story, and always used that as a template as a kid, you know, because when I would see other versions, I'm like, hey, the ghosts come in different order and stuff like that. And I found it creepy as a kid, but also so enjoyable, and rented it every year at Christmas, at least, you know, once or twice at Christmas time, and got to where especially my dad could quote it back, you know, because,
oh, really?
You know, I had rented it that much. And, what's cool is that keeping it with the Christmas special, when I was in kindergarten on USA, they advertised a back to back block, and apparently they did this multiple times at Christmas or around this time that same year. But they were advertising the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special followed by Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol.
Oh, no kidding!
And that was my first time of even finding out that there was a He-Man She-Ra Christmas special. So when they were saying that they're playing this and Mr. Magoo's Christmas Carol back to back, it was on a Monday night, and I found the exact commercial. It's on YouTube, but the one that they're playing is advertising Christmas Day at 4 o'clock, as opposed to 7 o'clock on Monday night. And I remember going batshit. I was like, "Oh my God, there's a He-Man show!" And I saw Snout Spout, and they're playing Mr. Magoo afterwards. And wouldn't you know it, my mom said, "You can't stay up to watch it. You got to go to bed." Like, oh, I hate you. And
terrible.
I saw the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special, and it was exciting to think I could see Mr. Magoo on TV and not have to rent it. But I found that exact same commercial on YouTube last week, so I'll probably share it this week. It was just so cool to see those two back to back. I'm like, oh my God, it would have been such an. I never forgot that commercial as a kid, because it was just one of those things. Like, I hope to God I get to see this Christmas special because Snout Spout's in it. And, you know, it was so exciting to see that at Christmas 1989.
Wow.
Oh, hey, when I got my Nintendo and everything. Oh, yeah, cool.
Hey, see, that could lead into a whole story from Nathan right now.
Going right back to what, you know, Nathan got for his precious Christmas here, all this stuff that I never got.
Go full circle, right back where we came from.
And he didn't ask for any of it.
There we go. It was given to him. One quick thing. Tyler JFP said it was episode 46 of Brave Star. He said that it was Texas Terrible Night.
Texas Terrible, episode 46. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I will look that up. Hell, it might even be on YouTube.
All right. And now I'm going to bring up Christmas specials that, yes, when these come on in little spurts, I always remember them. And there's some really good ones. Remember and still can't see the Married with Children Christmas specials. Yeah. I love when every time they come out, from the first one when Santa, remember, fell from his sleigh or whatever, fell from whatever, the parachute, and died right there in the bunny's backyard. And the cops are coming in. Al's trying to keep the kids, you know, pleased that, you know, Santa's okay. And, you know, they're trying to figure a way of getting him out. You know, and I think Al has to, you know, like act like Santa Claus and make him go away. That he finds that big sack full of all those certificates, like $10 or $20 certificates, to break the mall that's killing Al's mall or something. But there's a lot of them. Go ahead, Nathan. I hope, at least remember some, you know, Married with Children Christmas specials.
I remember a couple of them, but some of them are kind of vague. Like, I would catch Married with Children kind of mostly in syndication. I would catch a few of them when they would come on, but around that time, too, like, at my parents' house, like I had a TV in my room, but it didn't have cable on it. So like anytime I wanted to watch TV, I would have to like go in the living room with them. And even then it was always like, you know, if it's at night, I'm pretty much stuck watching what they watch. So, you know, lots of Golden Girls and Empty Nest and
Empty Nest. Oh man, that was an awesome show.
Designing Women and Murphy Brown and things like that. So Married with Children, I didn't get to watch as much as a kid because, you know, I think it was more of a thing, too, of my mom didn't really appreciate the humor
as much
in the show. I'm sure my dad liked it because we have similar tastes, but I'm sure he was just like, oh, it's okay. We can just watch, I don't know, there's some, like, show on NBC called Sisters back in the day.
Okay.
Or we'd watch like Major Dad or something.
Major Dad.
There was so many of those Married with Children ones. It was like even the two-parter where Al seeing what it would be like if he was
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Ted McGinley, the guy who eventually plays Jefferson, he ended up playing the guy that would eventually marry, you know, Peggy. And then it was like his last name was Jablonski. Because I remember they went, whoa, Jablonski. And then I looked at the screen like, oh, Jablonski? But Sam Kinison's in it. He's supposed to be his guardian angel that snapped and hated his, you know, own wife. And Al said, you're supposed to help me, huh? And then when he sees how great Peg's life is, and you know, Kelly's got straight A's and she's a virgin, and Bud's such a good guy that protects, you know, the females from any onslaught, and their life is perfect. And Al said, oh gee, this is great. He says, what are you gonna do next? Go back in time and show me the night I was supposed to be conceived and see my dad invent the condom? It's like poor Al just had no luck. But that was a good one. And then the one where a big jukebox fell off a truck. And Bud found it, and Bud and Kelly are trying to find a way of getting it, like, I guess, upstairs in Bud's room behind Al while he's watching TV with Peg as they're arguing on what they want to watch on TV. Every year they argue, no matter what's going to be on. And they just had this whole quest of trying to get this thing up and doing this, like, you know, pulley system. And eventually the thing busts, but Al, like, sits there. He snaps as he's watching TV. He says, you know, Peg, every year we sit here and we watch TV. It's the same thing. He's like, I hate TV. I wish they invented it. I wish there was no TV. And the power went out. And the power goes out. And he's like, what are we going to do, Peg? There's no TV. And she says, well, I can think of something. He said, be serious, Peg. And he said, I'm sorry there's no TV. I'm sorry. Then the lights come back on. It's just, oh, man, those damn Christmas specials. I eat them up. And I know, Tyler, you probably remember every one of those damn specials, too.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about right off too. Yeah, so I mean, I've since seen, you know, many of them as well. I mean, from that, and I mean, there are certain shows to this day. Like I still like watching the Seinfeld related Christmases, the Frasier Christmases, and I don't get down and depressed about those. Fortunately enough, it's the kids stuff that eats away at me, you know. But I mean, like those. I mean, there's in the Spectacular Spider-Man cartoon, there's in the second season, Spider-Man takes on the Sinister Six in Times Square on Christmas Eve, and I'm like, God, this is awesome! Like an action-packed episode, saving the girls and saving New York from the Sinister Six. You know, fighting inside a mall and around Times Square at the big Rockefeller
Center. I never knew they had it.
Nathan may have seen it. I got him turned on to that show.
But, yeah, no, that was towards the tail end of the run, right?
There was only two seasons. It was at the beginning of season two.
Can you YouTube it? Because I'd like a link.
I think Spectacular Spider-Man. I forgot. So I think the episode's called Group Therapy, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, where the Sinister Six reunites in season two, and they go on a mission on Christmas Eve to bring out Spider-Man. So he's fighting, you know, Vulture and Electro. Then he fights Sandman and Rhino. And then he fights Kraven and Mysterio. Fights him in pairs of two in various parts of New York. And then the final battle is inside a shopping mall.
I have to check that out.
It's a great action episode at Christmas. And that's one I remember trying to show my dad, because my dad was always a fan of the Rhino. So I'm like, hey, Rhino's in this episode. You want to check it out? He's like, okay. So I showed it to him. And it was just like he would kind of just like frozen. Like, did you like it, Dad? He goes, what? It was just like, it was completely oblivious that I was showing him anything. And I was just like, okay, you know, fine, whatever, you know.
There you go. There went that. No, you started sparking everything in the chat room because now people are saying they remembered, like, Family Ties had a Christmas Carol episode, and I used to watch Family Ties. I just don't remember that, Paul.
See, yeah, I used to watch it as a kid, too, but not enough to where I could remember anything. It's not a show that I just had to go back and revisit, but I loved it. I loved it as a kid.
No, it was. It was a great show. And JSP also mentioned Moonlighting had a good Christmas special. He says, as did G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
and
Cobra Claws is coming to town, yeah.
See, and I never, like I said, because of my name, I never watched G.I. Joe. I got heckled in school so much, everybody saying, yo, Joe, they made me hate the cartoon, so I never watched G.I. Joe. I know it sounds bizarre. Never watched the cartoon.
That's understandable. That's completely understandable.
It is. Yeah, every day when you hear that, everybody, yo, Joe, and it's not like they're being mean. It's just like, I'm tired of hearing the shit. You know, it's like, it just got so tiresome. I was like, I'm just not watching this cartoon.
All right, but, let me ask you about this. Now, what about, since Joe's touched on a bit of raunchy, I know Nathan has the Beavis and Butthead Christmas special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You got to have to spin on that. Nathan will have to shoot on that. I don't remember.
No, I mean, it's basically just kind of a different take of It's a Wonderful Life. But it's do what?
They spoof It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol.
Yeah. And it's basically like Beavis is sitting down to watch a porno and shows up and it's kind of like, well, here we go.
Yeah,
but it's also some of the funnier bits is kind of in between because you got Beavis dressed or Butthead dressed up as Santa and Beavis is there as a reindeer and they're like reading off letters. I guess I don't know. I'm imagining they were real letters that people had mailed in, and they're just kind of like riffing and making fun of everybody. And there's all, like, what is it that Butthead does? Like he says, like Beavis starts to say something and he'll like whip him.
Yeah, when he tries to, you know, get involved because he's got like the mouthpiece in his mouth and Beavis, you know, if Butthead like wants him to shut up, he'll start cracking the whip on Beavis and, you know, I got to just reach into my sack here. When I'm watching this as a kid, I'm thinking that real women wrote letters saying, hey, dear Beavis and Butthead, you're all I want for Christmas. I have really big thingies. And they're kind of like freezing up as they're reading this. And I'm knee deep in puberty at this point. I'm like, oh God, man! These guys are so lucky, man. Girl, big boobs wants them, and, you know. And they're doing that, and then they also they always would riff on music videos. So if you actually watch the full special, they're making fun of, you know, I think there's two Christmas related music videos that they make fun of on the special, along with Beavis doing an Ebenezer Scrooge thing where he works at the McBurger place, and. The principal McVicker works there, working hard, and Beavis is like really hard on him and stuff. And so various ghosts come to visit him and tell him he needs to be nice and treat people better. And he's watching a porno called Ebenezer Screw with Tiny Johnson and Bob Scratchit. And he's flipping through the channel, seeing different Christmas specials like RoboCop Saves Christmas and I'm Mad About You and I'm Mad About Christmas. And it's just so funny that they're riffing on like what Christmas does to, like, you know, rated R movies and TV specials and
he's getting pissed off.
Like, I'm trying to sit here and watch a porno, damn it. And,
oh yeah. You know. I'm definitely gonna have to YouTube it because I have no
recollection. So funny. And then the Butthead where they're spoofing It's a Wonderful Life saying that if you had never been in Beavis's life, he'd have been working at a soup kitchen with Stewart and everything. Oh, yeah. Gosh, it's so good, man.
Yeah, it is one of the aspects of Beavis and Butthead that still hold up because it's kind of half and half. Like I remember going back and watching some of the earlier episodes, and I'm just like, man, I'm not laughing at all.
Yeah.
So I guess it's one of those shows that if I were like to stick with it, probably got a little bit better with time. But I remember that being like pretty standard.
I'll have to watch it. It was one cartoon that, you know, again, I never watched Beavis and Butthead, so I'll just have to watch the cartoon just because it sounds funny, that at least that episode. But, yeah, I was, again, it's always different, I guess, times and ages of why certain things I didn't catch when I wasn't watching cartoons, even though Beavis and Butthead probably was geared towards, yes, older kids or teenage kids. So I probably could have watched it, but I just never did. Like, Michael Bell brought up one in the chat room, and you'd think I would remember this, but I don't, so I'll have to YouTube it. He says he remembers Dukes of Hazzard Christmas episode. He said where Boss Hogg experiences the Christmas Carol. He says it's quite emotional at the end. And I'm like, damn, you know, you'd think I would remember that, and I don't. But I still like watching Dukes of Hazzard, as I told you, with my Ripping My Chest Open special with Brandon Bigwheel. So I'm going to have to probably try to YouTube if they have that, because I just don't remember. But anytime, you know, I'm always a sucker for anytime they spoof A Christmas Carol, whatever kind of cartoon or movie or however it is, it's something I like watching because you think that, okay, how many different ways can they spin this story we've already seen? But they find clever ways, you know. Hell, I enjoyed, you know, speaking of, I guess, movies, but they had Disney's Christmas Carol where it was animated and Jim Carrey was Ebenezer Scrooge. This just came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, CG animated, whatever you want to call that. But it looks really realistic, detailed, and I enjoy that one. I mean, it feels just like, you could say, you know, the older type of Christmas carols. It tries to follow it almost, you know, bit by bit. But that's a real good one for a modern one. But that's what I mean. I just can't think of any modern movies, TV shows, or anything that have been out that really caught my attention. Maybe Deck the Halls or something, where I think that it was the guy who played Ferris Bueller and then Danny DeVito. I like them competing. Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. For God's sake, man. Next thing you know, you say Christmas with the Cranks with Tim Allen and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Hey, I got drunk and watched that last year, and it was still all.
God, you too.
Did you like Christmas with the Cranks, Nathan? Did you say
No. I got kind of drunk, and I'm just like, man, yeah, like even then, I'm like, whew, shit, this is awful.
No, that awful. One I didn't enjoy, but I did like Deck the Halls. I'll admit, I like Deck the Halls, damn it.
The one with Ben Affleck and James Gandolfini, you know, that like made virtually no money at all. I forgot what it was called. It was some Christmas movie that went in and out of theaters real quick, too.
No, I don't even know what that is. And like the other one that, the Tim Allen one, I didn't enjoy that. But I did like Deck the Halls.
I hope not.
No, but Deck the Halls was pretty damn good. Damn it, I like it. I don't care what you think. Go ahead, judge me. I like that damn
freaking
movie. So, no, any modern ones you guys could think of movies that were somewhat good or good?
I can't think of anything modern. I mean, Frasier and Seinfeld is about as modern as it gets for me when I watch something that's been made in the last 20 years. I tend to stick with, you know, it's Scrooge with Bill Murray, George C. Scott's Christmas Carol, and then the various Christmas cartoons that I've mentioned on the podcast. I mean, it's
see Disney's Christmas Carol, the one I mentioned, Jim Carrey one, that is really good. You would like it, I promise you.
I refuse, because at that point, that's when Jim Carrey was making nothing but just god-awful paycheck films.
But this is good, though. This is a whole animated thing. It's completely different.
I know what it is. I remember seeing the trailers for it in the theater and everything. It was just one of those things where I kind of felt like, you know, I don't know. I felt like it was going to be silly.
I swear to you, man.
I also associate Jim Carrey with that wretched version of The Grinch that I went and saw in theaters. I thought was going to be fantastic. Me and my brother saw it, like, dude, man, that movie sucked.
Well, this one is just, trust me, it is different. It's one that I really enjoyed. It felt like the old ones, but it's just more of a, you know, animated style. But it didn't get hokey. It followed the other almost bit by bit. It had emotional parts. It felt serious. But no, it wasn't cornball stuff. It wasn't like Party Favors popping out of his ass or his head or any goofy stuff. It's serious. They tried to make it look real, but it was, you know, CG animated. So I promise you, you would enjoy Disney's Christmas Carol. That was good.
But you did say you like Deck the Halls, and I'm like, dude, I cannot.
You can't take your opinion of that seriously now that you said that. Well, you Deck the Halls.
I have a variety of things I like. Some I like here, some I like this. I'll admit. Oh, and Nathan, just to let you know, I did go back and watch Black Christmas or whatever. Oh my god, yeah, that was wow. I was like, oh, it was. I don't even know if I ever liked it as a kid, but it was different. Thank you for recommending it, but. Oh, that the killer and the way he would talk, like he talked so weird on the phone, you could barely understand. But I know that was the point, to kind of freak you out of, you don't really hear what he's saying. But
yeah,
it was different. It was it was different. But I watched it. Thank you for recommending it, because I did want to at least say I seen it. It was just different. I didn't know if you said you did it or not.
That part when, you know, she's up in the attic and she gets the bag put on her head, like that was kind of, you know. And then you just leaves her up there in the window.
Oh yeah, because he got that one girl in her room. She was like, she thought she heard her pussy in her pussy cat. I'm sorry.
I don't hear Joe say the word pussy, and here it's like you get to hear pussy. I'm like, was she queefing?
Sorry, hey, well, no kids. Hey, you know, this isn't Fans of Power. Thanks.
Well,
things
that's
happen.
The thing about Beyond Retro. We don't really let. I mean, we're not. It's not like we go into cussing fits. But if
well, I thought you
hear it, it's okay.
I, Well, I thought her cat's name was Pussy in it. That's what I meant. But anyway, she's calling the cat's name, and she goes to the closet, and yeah, then the guy just jumps out. He leaps at her through his, you know, mask view, so you're seeing it through the eyes, and he puts a bag over her and, you know, suffocates her. And then, just like Nathan said, he takes her up into the attic and just leaves her in the window. The whole time she's there, but I guess it's something nobody ever really looked up at, and they never found her through the entire movie. And eventually
they couldn't hear her pussy. That's why they couldn't
find her. Right. So yeah, because, you know, at the end, it's left to where they thought they got the killer, and I knew they didn't, but I was like, okay, you're police. You didn't check this whole damn house. You didn't go up into the attic. You didn't check everywhere. So even the old house mother, she's left up there dead in the attic. But it was different. I'm sorry.
It's not super great or anything, but it was kind of innovative because, like, POV shots, all that stuff, like, it's kind of before Halloween came out, so it's kind of, it's kind of a neat piece of history, and to me, like, something to be, you know, visit around this time of year. One that I would recommend, now, sorry, Joe, I kind of interrupted you again.
No, you didn't, go ahead. But,
one that I watched, recently, that's on YouTube. So, any of you guys check this out, or if any of you have heard of it, it's called Treevenge, and it's directed by the guy that did Hobo with the Shotgun. I know Tyler's heard of Hobo with the Shotgun, Joe. I don't know if you have. It's basically kind of like being in the perspective of the trees, like feeling them when, like, these guys come out and they start, like, chainsawing the trees down, and they kind of take revenge. It's only 16 minutes long, and it's on YouTube. So,
on YouTube,
it's really gory. It's. I had a lot of fun with it.
I'll definitely YouTube it. It's just like, damn. Now I'm wishing we would have, you know, around Thanksgiving, mentioned some others. Because I tell you what, I'm gonna mention a Thanksgiving horror movie that you guys. I don't know if you can YouTube it.
I call it like the horror trailer Thanksgiving.
Wait, what did you call it?
Joe doesn't know. Nathan knows what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, no, the fake trailer before Grindhouse.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, okay. No, the movie you guys got to see one way or another. If you just like, I mean, me and Nathan are suckers for this. Tyler might think it's absolutely moronic, but I'm telling you, Nathan, you would just love it as how silly and ridiculous. It's called Thanksgiving, and it's
okay. Is that the one that Troma came out with?
It's the one with the killer turkey.
Okay.
This killer, there is a killer turkey in this movie, and even at one point during the movie, the turkey is supposed to, like, kill this one guy, skin his face, and he's wearing, imagine a turkey, a small turkey, wearing the skin and the face of some guy that's supposed to be this one girl's father, and I think he comes to the door, rings the doorbell, the turkey is, you know, this just the size of a turkey, and she opens the door and looks down, and he's like, hey, honey, he's like, oh, hi, daddy, it's like, so fucking stupid. It's like she thinks it's her dad and it's a turkey. It's so stupid, but damn it, I love it. Thanks, Killing. You gotta
Tyler,
see it.
Watch it. I'll give it a spin. I know Tyler, just as soon as you said a killer turkey, he was just...
Which, I've heard of this film, and no, I'm not devoting an hour and 20 minutes of my time, you know, to watch it.
Oh, Nathan will. Nathan loves that cheesy stuff. Oh, just trust me, Nathan. Right, I mean, especially like you said, when you get drunk, it'd probably make it even better for you, but oh, please, see Thanksgiving. It is fantastic.
All right, I'll give that one a spin. And I'll tell Tyler to watch it, and he still won't do it.
No, yeah.
Oh no, he won't. I mean, he won't. But I love it. I just love him. How horrible! Okay. It's so horrible. It's good. You have to see it. It's not as horrible as another movie called Axum, where oh my god, that's a doozy of a horrible movie. But
dude, thing you see. I haven't watched it, but I bought it at a pawn shop, so it's in my DVD collection. There you go. Oh. Tyler left it for the rest of the show.
He's like, Tyler's left the show. It's turned into a horror thing about Thanksgiving and all this stuff. But yes, Axum, please watch it, Nathan. It is so horrible. It's awesome. Real quick, JSP, even the chat room, says it sounds awesome. Now, Michael Burrell brought up a movie which I've never seen, but he said he's seen a different spin on Scrooge where it's called, he says, Call Me Claus. Oh, God, and I'm glad Tyler isn't here because he would have left the show. He said it's with Whoopi Goldberg. And Mrs. Santa Claus with Angel Lansbury, and he said something else, Mrs. Santa Claus with Angel Lansbury. He said cheesy but fun, but yeah, if he would have heard Whoopi Goldberg, Tyler would have already been gone too. He would have got up and left right there. Oh, man.
I guess Tyler had to go like cry some more about his old childhood memories of not having a better Christmas than Joe and I had in 1991.
Yeah, when we're bringing up, like I said, when we brought up our memories of things we might have got for Christmas, that just happens. But I didn't know if you did talk about 1989 with what you got. Like, hey, there's Tyler. Hey, Tyler, we're talking about Die Hard again.
You guys are going to talk about shitty horror movies. It's a good time to get up and use the bathroom.
Hope you washed your hands.
Yes, I did. You know, I'm a germaphobe.
Okay. No, you got up and left just as I mentioned Michael Bell in the chat room. Not only mentioned Mrs. Santa Claus with Angel Lansbury, but he said, I think he said, call me Claus with Whoopi Goldberg. And I was like, that's when Tyler would have left anyways, but I don't remember either of those. He said
I saw that in the video store to rent at some point. That sounds like something I saw like in the straight to video section.
Yeah, he said they were cheesy but fun. So, no, I've never seen either of them. I don't know if they would ever been on TV or TV specials, but, I mean, hell, the way they rerun stuff so much, you never know what's going to pop up on TV. Because we just ran through almost everything you can think of. Of course, there's a lot more, but yeah. I guess those are some of the most memorable. But, yeah, Tyler, I guess maybe before we wrap it up, we'll have to have you maybe think of one final thing, and then maybe Nathan would have to do a childhood Christmas memory. I said, Nathan will have to do a childhood Christmas memory just for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Nathan. Do it now, Nathan. Go ahead. Tell us about Christmas of 89 so Tyler can get really upset. Tell us.
Well, I mean, you know, like, that was the year I got the Nintendo. That's, like, kind of what got me on the fast track to just want to play video games all the time as a kid, you know?
And how many games did you say you got? Which ones was it?
I got Batman, Dick Tracy, and then the first Turtles game, which was, you know, that it was kind of weird and had a lot of characters in it that had nothing to do with Ninja Turtles.
Was that the one really, where you could go, like, three, like, you know, you had the overview where you're driving around, then you go on the sewers? Is that the Turtles?
Yeah, and it had that infamous level with the dishonoring bombs underwater that a lot of people hated and couldn't get past. I was one of them as a kid, but, I also got that was the year, I believe, I want to say I got Pee-wee's Playhouse that Tyler also doesn't have, like the toy set, the figures and all that stuff. Got some turtles. Can't remember if I got like the turtle van that year.
Damn, that's a big ass Christmas. I mean, Nintendo 3 game. You know what's funny is you're talking about Pee-wee's Playhouse as a set. I didn't even know they had that. I loved watching the show. I didn't even know that they had an actual toy set of that.
Yeah. We did. Like, just Google search that and check it out. It actually had a lot of little interactive pieces for it. It was pretty elaborate for a toy set back in the
day. It's such a big cardboard play set, but to see it, they incorporated like the floor that you know, they incorporated a lot of the stuff. I mean, because
so it was a play set that had like a floor but then a cardboard background too, you mean, or something?
It actually like folded up into like a carrying case. Like it would fold out and here's like Pee-wee's Playhouse, and you know, I would always take it with all the figures in there.
You had to buy it then. Like, you could get Conky, Randy, and Terry, Miss Yvonne, Cowboy Curtis, Reba the Mail Lady. You could buy King of Cartoons. You could buy all those. But the playset
did it come with Cherry?
Huh?
Did the playset actually come with Cherry, though? Hopefully Cherry and, like, John B. and them?
Figure you had to buy separately.
I want to say that maybe, like, if you bought the Playhouse, it may have come with Pee-wee and his scooter.
But yeah, that was the kick. I think that's the only way you could get the scooter is if you got the playset.
Yeah, but all the
do you
other
have any of that?
Yeah, I got all of it. I'll have to display it and take a picture and like, send it to you.
No kidding. I think fans would even get a kick out of that. That's pretty awesome. I bet you that's a set that's probably, I assume it's probably expensive on eBay because, I mean, I just never heard of it.
It's not too bad. I can't remember. Like, last time I looked was a while ago, and I want to say it was maybe a little over 100, but I think that was with the box, too. So it's not too bad, all things considered.
Okay. Damn, you had an awesome
there is
Christmas
a
of 89.
Christmas special, by the way, to tie it all back to Christmas.
Oh, was? See, and I couldn't remember because I haven't
Whoopi
seen
Goldberg, is
well,
it?
That show. Oh, really? Okay, there, back to Whoopi for Michael Bell. There you go. Whoopi was in that, too. Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen Pee-wee's Playhouse that I couldn't remember the Christmas special either. I just know they'd always had the secret word. You say that, you scream or something. Yeah, so I remember that stuff. I used to love that damn beginning. My dad hates
Oh, man, yeah, that was probably the best part of the show was the claymation opening in the woods with the squirrels and the monkeys and stuff. And
but then when it went to him doing that singing and running around, you know, it's time, so pull yourself up a chair, that whole thing. And every time it came on, my dad was just shaking his head like, God, is this going to be over? He just hated hearing that damn song every single time. To see if it, I wonder if that's on Netflix. They always do things on Netflix.
Oh, God, I got it. Yeah.
Oh, God, now I got a Netflix. Everybody Netflix Pee-wee's Playhouse, and then maybe we can catch the Christmas special on there. But,
yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Well, Nathan, thanks for that awesome memory of your Christmas thing, just to rub into Tyler's face, because that's a lot of good stuff. Yeah, anytime. Yeah. That's a lot of good stuff. But go ahead, Tyler. Any closing thoughts from you before we wrap it up?
You know, hopefully we ran down, you know, a large variety of Christmas specials that will kind of either intrigue people or make them decide they want to go back and revisit. But it was fun going down memory lane there. And, you know, for our previous Christmas episodes on YouTube and on Podbean, check out the Facebook, Beyond Retro Facebook page. Joe, Nathan, myself, and Doug are all on Facebook. All their episodes are available on Podbean and YouTube, of course. I think I just said that. But next week, I'm not sure what we're going to do. I mean, we will want to do like a commentary of some kind, but we're kind of limited since there's not a whole lot of stuff on YouTube to do commentary without buying it. So maybe we can find some sort of Christmas special that's available on YouTube to do a commentary for. Or if not, we're just going to tell Joe to pick up his station, get the hell in front of a TV so we can do a commentary for something.
Yeah, Joe, I have to figure out something, some way of doing something. I'll see what I can do.
But we'll figure out something. Maybe to wrap up the final Christmas episode for this week or for this month, excuse me. But that's all I have to say about tonight's episode. All
right.
I do. Can I just throw out one more Christmas related like special episode before? Because I feel like we'll do a little bit of an injustice if I don't mention the Saved by the Bell Christmas episodes.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure most people are probably familiar. It's like, you know, the homeless family in the mall, and they're getting ready to do their little Christmas play, and Zach's being a dick. He always is. And
he's always here every episode, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, you're not really eating much. Oh, it's because she's poor, and he just doesn't understand it because he's a dick.
He always likes rubbing everything in their faces like you showed the other time. But we're going to be doing Saved by the Bell in the future. Don't worry. We're going to have some good discussions about that TV show. And definitely about damn Zach. What a prick.
Oh, Zach wears an awesome sweater in the Christmas special. Like when they have the poor girl and her father over to the house, he's wearing like this awesome multicolored Bill Cosby sweater, man.
But they take the family in at the end of the episode, and then you never see him ever again.
Yeah.
So annoying.
They did that with a lot of characters on that show. They'd always, like, bring somebody in to where you think they're going to be part of the show and then just never to be seen again.
Yeah, they just get rid of them. Yeah, they send them packing after Christmas Eve, and they're probably still living in their car.
That's terrible. But, no, yeah, that was a good one to bring up, though, Nathan. Yeah, so that's more future stuff. But, well, I wanted to thank absolutely everybody that was in the chat room and all your feedback, and especially, you know, the episodes and TV shows and anything you were bringing up. You know, it was pretty cool because, like you said, there's so many of them. We can't think of them all, and I'm sure we missed quite a bit of them. But, no, it was fun having every one of you. But, yeah, so Tyler told you where to go, and you can catch us, you know, always on Facebook at the places he mentioned. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. So we'll catch you next week with maybe a commentary for something, a movie, a cartoon episode. But it'll be another Christmas-related theme thing for this month. So, yeah. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
See you guys.